Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, John Downing, good morning to you. I hope you're well after and rested after the elections.
Yeah, definitely. All good.
And look, there's going to be more elections, election for a Green Party leader we'll talk about in a moment. But we want to talk as well about the work of the Dáil. And this government are coming up against several deadlines. And they're trying to get sometimes major pieces of legislation passed. And they've hit the buffers on the planning bill. There's a lot of controversy about this during the election cycle when it was guillotined in relation to, you know, it being passed, loads of amendments. But apparently it's not passed now, despite a promise that it would be passed before the summer recess by Dara O'Brien. What's happening with it?
Yeah, this is central. It's one that kind of got under the radar in the middle of all the election hullabaloo. During the count, the marathon count for Euros and the whole lot, it was guillotined through the Dáil. Of course, the opposition cried foul. They always do. Mind you, sometimes when those same parties get into government, they use the guillotine as well. It's a device which says, look, enough of this guff, time to make a law here. This bill is a mammoth piece of work, 700 pages. We're told it's the third biggest piece of legislation in the state's history. Lots and lots of cross-cutting amendments. The Taoiseach said, in defending the use of the guillotine, he said, look, we've had specifically 120 hours of debate at the committee stage. That's the most important detailed. It's the third step in five steps to pass a law. So through it went. However, it normally then that would pass it on to the Seanad. The Seanad would go through it, but probably rubber stamp it, and it would go to the President to be signed. However, it did not. It went back to what's called the Bills Office because there were so many amendments and so many. It basically had to be put back into ordinary working English. So it's with the Bills Office. It's such a job of work to tidy it up that it won't be going to the Seanad before the summer recess. As you say, the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien, said hell or high water, it will be through before the summer recess. That's not going to happen. It will be back in the autumn. There are a number of difficulties with it. Among them, I noticed a long piece in the Irish Examiner yesterday saying that it's at odds with the UN Aarhus Convention, which is about the right to information, particularly on environmental issues. And another thing which has been repeatedly raised, which relates to Kerry especially because of the Ivrahuk and Corcuigrina Gaeltachtaí, there are issues around language planning to offset the idea of Gaeltacht areas being, you know, particularly overrun with English speakers only. So these are issues, they will be back in play in the autumn. This is not a done deal yet.
And John, just to underline this and where the rubber hits the road on things like this, we had a story this morning based on the last meeting of the Kenmare MD before the election. There was an 11-hour meeting about the Kenmare development plan. Officials at the meeting warned councillors they'd zoned far too much land and would face a backlash from central government. The council said, we don't care. We want land in Kenmare, Killorglin and Waterville. And the Minister for State now, Alan Dillon, has notified the council he intends to issue a direction. The draft Kenmare MD municipal plan is not fit for purpose and he's directed they have to de-zone land. So this is a hot political issue at a local level on planning and where you can build and why you can't build somewhere.
A very real story in people's lives. And the biggest aim of this planning legislation, it is very well intentioned, is to try to streamline, speed things up and take out some of the real kind of nuisance things in planning. For example, it deals with the issue of objections and people basically getting money to go away to take their objection out of the process.
Yeah, so all of that to be played for yet, John. And John, Eamon Ryan stepped up to the lectern during the week and announced, I've had enough. I'm doing a Leo Varadkar. I'm stepping back. Time for new energy and a new leader. So on the leadership race is...
Yeah, so it is. And less than 24 hours later, we were talking about the succession stakes. I mean, the second shock was the deputy leader, Catherine Martin, saying, as it happens, I'm not in for it now. She contested, she challenged him 4 years ago in the teeth of coalition negotiations, and she only lost by 48 votes. So everybody would have said, this is a slam dunk, she's up now. But she said, no, she's not doing it. And she spoke yesterday about it, but that of itself is another kind of surprise. Eamon Ryan, nobody knew about it, though it emerged after, and with some credit, I suppose, to the people around him, that he had been talking for some months about leaving, that it wasn't related to the reverses that they had in the local and European elections, but I believe that may have been, you know, a trigger as to the timing and the manner of his announcement. It wouldn't have surprised me if he did it after the Dáil, after the next general election. But anyway, he's gone. He stays in cabinet until they see what they'll do, who will be the next leader. It's beginning to look like it will be Roderick O'Gorman, the integration and children's minister. The only other candidate is Pippa Hackett, a junior agriculture minister, but a member of the Shannon, and she doesn't look like she's going to win a Dáil seat anytime soon. It's all out there. But as you say, the second of the three coalition leaders to leave the field, before the subsequent general election.
Okay, we'll talk a bit more about that. We'll also be talking about Fianna Fáil's personnel changes as well. We'll get to those after we take these.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, John, looking at the leadership race, Pippa Hackett going for it, whether she's elected or not, or her prospects will probably play a role within the Green Party in relation to it. But what do you make of this emergence and this playing up to an extent, this idea that Eamon Ryan was urbanite, you know, a very successful attack on him by all elements of opposition, including the independent TDs, saying the Greens are anti-rural Ireland, they just don't understand us. Pippa Hackett trying to sell the story that, look, I'm from rural Ireland, I'm a beef farmer, I'm a dairy farmer, elect me and I'll be able to win rural Ireland for the Greens. Do you buy that?
No. I think it's at best naive. I mean, you are right, there were very successful attacks on Eamon Ryan. Sometimes he kind of facilitated them by less than judicious statements. I know Eamon Ryan for years, and I remember, just a Kerry story about Eamon Ryan, talking about to assist Lárach and Glenmore School, which was a youth hostel at one stage. I stayed in it many, many moons ago. It relates to, I have a family connection. My grandmother was reared in Glenmore School. But I remember talking to him about that whole area one night, and the amount of detail he knew about Southwest Kerry and Joan and Teddy's, as it was then, in Kilmacolog and those kind of places. And he had a very, very detailed knowledge of the Western Seaboard, because before anybody was doing this, he was organising cycle tours and, you know, the sort of thing where they bring your bags and you get bussed from place to place. Yeah. And, you know, a big logistical undertaking. But that's what he did before he went into politics. So, you know, it's unfair and it's wrong, but life is like that sometimes. I don't believe at this distance from an election that they can retrieve that kind of cliche that's embedded in the minds of many people in provincial and rural Ireland. And I think they'd be far better off playing to their strengths. They had, for example, they lost their two MEPs, but they had a very mixed bag, and they lost 20-odd councillors, but they had some successes, some poll-topping performances in Dublin and other places. So you know, all is not lost. They will sustain losses in the Dáil election, but I don't believe it'll be a wipeout. But I don't think they can retrieve their reputation in rural Ireland by electing Pippa Hackett.
Yeah. What's going on in Fianna Fáil, John? Micheál Martin caused a bit of a flurry during the week, saying he had an announcement to make, and people thought, holy God, what's going to happen here? Is he going to step back? But no, he was announcing a deputy leader. I had forgotten that they didn't have a deputy leader. It was Dara Cleary when he was on in 2020, and it wasn't replaced.
O'Cleese, who left in a blaze of glory in an acrimonious row with Micheál Martin, but they haven't had since Golfgate. Since Dara Cleary had to go because of that dinner in Clifton. So he unveiled Jack Chambers, 33 years of age, in the Dáil for 8 years, medical doctor, a Mayo background, but representing Dublin West, the same constituency as Leo Varadkar, the same constituency as Roderick O'Gorman, who will... it's increasingly looking like he will be the next leader of the Green Party. So what was Micheál doing? Well, to some extent he was reclaiming some scarce limelight for the party, because it's been all about the others, and in the business of politics, nobody goes into politics to hide behind the door. So he was reclaiming some limelight, because if you disappear from the headlines, you can suddenly find yourself sinking in the opinion polls, etc. But I think he was pointing the way to the future. Certainly people will look at Jack Chambers as a he is something of a Simon Harris look-alike, but let's see, he could well be the next leader, but there are other changes to come.
But was Micheál Martin announcing a successor, John, or does it work like that?
It doesn't work like that, and it will be one member, one vote. But I think certainly an endorsement like that is an important step towards the creation of a new leader. But next week we're going to find out who Ireland's new EU commissioner is.
And does that mean, John, one of the leadership contenders will be out the door? Minister for Finance, Michael McGrath. And what does that mean for our budget?
Yeah, it's kind of complicated. I do believe, and we haven't heard any suggestion otherwise, that it will be Michael McGrath. There have been mentions of the Agriculture Minister, Charlie McConnellogh. It's a big one. Losing the finance minister in the run-in to a budget. The budget is on October the 8th. By the way, something important that Michael McGrath said, he said it last Saturday, so it didn't get that much attention. A lot of speculation involves the budget happening earlier, the budget happening in September, clearing the way for an election before the hour changes on the 27th of October. Well, from what Michael McGrath, to quicken up here, what he said really was it would be difficult to move the budget beyond what the expected date, which is Tuesday, October the 8th. It would be difficult to do the preparations. It would be difficult to do the enabling legislation. There are two huge pieces of legislation to give effect to a budget. So the finance bill and the social welfare bill, they would be very difficult to sort of express and telegram and drive through. So we may be looking at an election in November rather than October. I still believe we're looking at an election in the autumn. But it does, the idea of changing finance minister at this point does complicate things. So we can expect some announcements and some changes.
Are we into a lame duck government then, John? With the expectation, the time that's left, departing for Europe Minister for Finance, time running out to pass legislation.
Yes, all of that. There is one thing, though, that come the 15th of July, three opposition and one government, Barry Cowan, they go to Europe. So that makes the numbers easier. So they can probably, you know, hit some targets. They probably can bundle. They must bundle the planning bill over the line. They must produce a budget, because that's going to be the the shop window, the sales pitch for the general election. So yes, we're moving towards injury time, added time, but the government is in shape to complete some important tasks.
Yeah, certainly is. John, put on your thermals and have your winter coat ready for October, November, I suppose.
And absolutely. I think it's increasingly looking that way.
Okay, John, brilliant stuff. Thanks a million for that. That's John Downing of the Irish Independent with call from the Dáil. If you've a view on what he had to say and where things are going, we'll talk about Kerry County Council. Today is the day, the meeting, the control of the council. We're going to talk about that next week. We'll let that play out and talk about next week with John in terms of the deal done between parties. But thanks very much for that. If you've a view, get in touch. Lots more on the way on Kerry Today.